All right. Wish to extend greetings to you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Give us clarity of mind and heart as we open your word. Give us direction, Father. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless your words this morning. Help them to be real to us, Father. Again, we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open the Bible to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. These are the words of Jesus, giving us some instruction. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it. Whenever we look sometimes at this straight and narrow way, there's a lot of misconceptions. For one thing, there's a lot of people that don't believe what Jesus said, that the way is straight and narrow. Almost in every area of life, there is a road. I mean, we go out here, we look at the highway out here. There's a road that's smooth and paved. And on either side of that road, there's a ditch. But there's a road in the middle. Whenever you're driving your car, as long as you're on the road, there's no problems. But when you get in the ditch, you've got a problem. You're not on the road anymore. You're in a ditch. And usually when you get in a ditch, or a lot of times when people get in the ditch, they're stuck. And they can't get out anymore. They can't go anymore. Because they're not on the road, they're in a ditch. And there is a ditch on both sides of the road. And that is the same way there is on this straight and narrow road. The straight and narrow road is not an easy road, but it is the road. It is the only road that leads to life. Some people ignore what Jesus said, where it says that it's straight and narrow, and few there be that find it. They say that it's easy to get on this road. All you have to do is get forgiveness for your sins. Say a prayer. Go to church. Join this denomination or join that denomination. Be baptized and you're on that road. And all you have to do is just simply give a mental assent to the fact that Jesus came and died for us because of our sins. Or that you believe this doctrine in just a specific way, that if you believe this doctrine, that's what it means to believe. And so if you believe this, or you believe this, or you believe this, and you have all these things figured out to where you understand theology and doctrine, that's what it means. that is a ditch. Because that doesn't agree with what Jesus said. It's not a part of the straight and narrow way. It's the broad, wide way. And many people are on it. Many people are on it. But he said, this way is straight and narrow. Another ditch. On the other side of the ditch, it's not the loose side, but on the other side, there's another ditch. And that ditch says that this straight and narrow way is the strict way. Or this way is a way where you keep the rules just like this, or you keep the laws. And it's just strictness that you never mess up, that you never do anything wrong. You just live your life so strict and restricted. And oftentimes you try to put extra restrictions upon yourself to control yourself so that you can maintain this strict, narrow way. The Bible talks about that in one of the smaller epistles. It says they don't eat this, or they don't do that. They put restrictions upon themselves, but it doesn't change anything inside. They just keep putting all these rules upon them, and it just makes it so that they might keep up this appearance of righteousness. There's some churches that just say, oh, come as you are, just do whatever you like and just accept Jesus and you're saved. And then there's others that have to have all kinds of extra things to keep you restrained. Both of them are ditches. Neither one of them are the straight and narrow way. The straight and narrow way, don't get confused, is not just real strict religion. That is not it. That's not what he's saying when he says a straight and narrow way. That's what most of us think when we think of a straight and narrow way. We see the liberal side or the loose side, and we know that there's something definitely wrong with that. But the way that we react to that is, okay, that must mean it's just really strict. And so people try to create a religion to be very, very strict. That's another ditch. That is not the straight and narrow way. Well, if super strict religion and super loose religion are not, is it? What is? That's one of the things people try to balance out these things. It's not a balancing act. It's following Jesus. It's putting into practice what he taught and living that way. Not because it's a bunch of rules that we're going to try to gain the way by keeping these strict rules. What it comes down to is one thing that is keeping you from God. Many people try every way in the world to get on this straight and narrow way. But there's one thing that is makes the way, that gets you on that path. And it's not strictness. It's not just simply believing. It is trusting the Lord when He wants something from your life. It's your will. It's your will that must be surrendered to the Lord. And then keeping that will. That's why it is straight and narrow. It's not straight and narrow because it's strict. It's straight and narrow is because it's the one thing in my life I don't want to give up. One of the boys mentioned about the rich young ruler. Jesus, he came running up to Jesus and saying, what must I do to be saved? You just take that picture there. I've been in church services, grew up in church service where people would literally run to the altar. And they would say, what must I do to be saved? How do I get saved? I want to get saved. And some preacher puts his arm around him and said, just believe Jesus died for you and ask him to forgive you and you'll be saved. Threw him right in the ditch. Threw him right in the ditch. Another, well, you've got to be a part of our church. You've got to keep this rule and this rule and this rule and this rule. Throws him right in the other ditch. But this young rich man came and he said, what must I do to be saved? Jesus did not say, just believe that I'm going to die for you and you'll be saved. Jesus said, keep all the rules. Showing him the other side of it. Keep all the rules. That'll fix it. Showing him the opposite side. And the man said, well, I've done all those things. I've kept the law. And Jesus said, there's one little thing that you lack. And he told him, sell everything you had and follow me. You know, there's a lot of people build a religion and they can make the strict part that says you've got to sell everything you have to follow Jesus. And you may have to. But that's not the rule that's going to get you there. That's not the assurance that you will find if you do sell everything and just follow Him. But we can make a religion out of it and throw it right in the ditch instead of that straight and narrow way. Jesus told that man exactly what it was going to require for him to get on the straight and narrow way. He told him the one little part of his heart that he did not want to give up. And that brought that man face to face with the cross. And he had to make a decision about it. You know, we look at this man. He told Jesus he had never failed. He had never sinned. He told Jesus, I've kept the law. I've done it. And Jesus didn't say, no, you didn't. You're a liar. Everybody's a sinner. He didn't say that. What separates you from God? There's something bigger than living a sinful life that separates you from God. This man hadn't lived a sinful life as we think about it. He hadn't done all those bad things. But he was just as separated from God as the worst sinner, the wickedest man in the world. Because of one thing. One simple little thing. That man's will had not been surrendered to the Lord. You see, it's not sin that makes you a sinner like we think of. What makes you a sinner in any degree, is because your will and your heart is not surrendered to God's will. That's what makes you a sinner. Whether you're on the street, getting drunk, doing drugs, doing all the bad things that people think of, or whether you're in the other ditch, being so religious and so righteous and so holy like the Pharisees were. They're both sinners. They're both in the same camp. No matter how the depths of darkness to the strictness and the depths of the darkness of religion, they're both sinners. They're both in the ditch. Neither one on the straight and narrow way. The straight and narrow way is doing the will of God. Jesus laid out His will, what He wants for us. And as we read this book and as we study this book, we see how He wants us to live. It's not trying to please Him and do everything we can to try to impress Him. It's surrendering your will to God. And when you do that, the gift is there. The grace is there. The power is there. And it's just waiting on one little kink in the hose. You know, it's springtime. It's time to water things and plant things. And so you hook up a garden hose. It's got a lot of pressure to it. And you hook up this hose and you put a nozzle on the sprayer and you go out to spray. And you start to spray and nothing happens. The hose is turned on, the hose is hooked up, but there's one little problem. The hose is turned and twisted and got a kink in it. How do you get water to come out of the water hose? There's only one place in that 100-foot hose, maybe. There's only one place that is stopping the power, that's stopping the pressure. And it's bent. Out of a 100-foot hose, there's a little 1-inch, half-inch place that's bent in the middle. And it shuts the water off. You go over there, you straighten that out, the power's there, the pressure, the water's there. It's just that simple. You can go do all kinds of things to try to fix the garden hose, but until you get to that kink, the one that's stopping it, you have no power, no pressure. All of the things in the world won't fix it until you fix that one little place. That's what repentance is about. Repentance is not just stopping doing a bad thing. There's a lot of people that stop doing bad things and start doing good things, but that one little kink in their heart, in their life, that they will not give up, that they will not surrender, that they will not let go of, has got it all kinked up. No matter how far you go after that, no matter how good your garden may look, until you have that kink straightened out, there's no water, there's no power. This is the argument of grace and works. It's all about repentance. The argument of grace and works. Some say, oh, you can't do anything. You can't do anything. You just believe and it's just all going to happen and God will do it all for you. It's a bunch of nonsense. You make every decision you make. You choose to make those decisions that you make. It's a choice. You know, somebody... I read a little thing about predestination. And a man said, he said, you know, I've noticed that all the people that believe in predestination, that everything in their life has already been laid out and planned for them, that when they get to a busy street and start to cross a busy street, they look both ways before they start out. Because they make a choice. They're making a choice. They look both ways because they're not just trusting that somebody's going to take care of them when they start out across the street. You know, if we're predestined, that's the way we would live. That if God has all of it planned out, we don't have a choice at all in this matter. We can just do whatever we wanted to. And it wouldn't matter. But it does. It does matter. Because that kink in the hose is in your hands. The grace and the works. People try to avoid that kink in the hose. And so they try to be real religious, imposing all kinds of strict rules upon themselves, just so they won't have to deal with that kink in the hose. They try to avoid all the bad things that all those other sinners are doing just so they can avoid that kink in the hose. But it's that kink in the hose that makes you a sinner. not the things you're doing. A rebel against God is a rebel against God, no matter how loyal he is to another king. He's a rebel against God, no matter how loyal he is to another king. He's still a rebel against God. That's our problem. That's man's problem. God, in His grace and His mercy, is offering us an opportunity to return to Him and to return to His will. He is freely given this. The Bible talked whenever the said that whenever the angels appeared to the shepherds, behold the good news. Great news. The Redeemer is coming. Glad tidings to all men. Peace on earth. This is the greatest thing that could ever happen to mankind. That this child is coming that will be the Redeemer, that will bring you back to God. And what did the world do with this? They killed him. They didn't want him. People were strict religious, all kind. They killed him. The bad sinners, the rabble that the religious people were able to stir up, killed him. They didn't want him. The mob was able to be incited. The bad guys were being able to get riled up and stirred up to cause a riot, to crucify him. And the saints over here were, the Pharisaical saints were over here stirring them up, planting little seeds to get the mob to do their dirty work. They're both in the same camp. The good news came to the world. I can just imagine the angels just excited, glad that the news that man can be redeemed. And then man rejects that redemption and chooses to stay in his bondage. I've told the story, most of you have heard it, about whenever I was growing up, a little show called Sesame Street for children on the television. There was a man there that was called Oscar the Grouch. Now, Oscar lived in this dirty, nasty, old beat-up trash can. And it just smelled, and there was trash everywhere. It was nasty. And all of his friends, they'd come, they'd talk to Oscar, and he was an old gripey old grouch. Oscar the Grouch. And he just, bad disposition. Nothing made him happy. You couldn't do anything for him. And so his friends, one time Oscar left. He went somewhere, probably to file a complaint against somebody somewhere. But anyway, he left. And his friend said, I know what we'll do. We're going to come in there and we're going to clean this place up. We're going to get rid of all this trash. We're going to clean it all up. We're going to get him a brand new shiny trash can that he can live in. Just a nice little house. Oscar came back and he saw this new trash can. And he was furious. He was angry. He wanted to live in his old filthy, dirty, trashy trash can instead of this new one. That is a picture of God extending His grace to mankind. But they would rather live in their trash can. I don't know, it just amazes me. The opportunities to be a part of the kingdom of God, to live with people, to live with brethren that love each other, that are kind to each other, that help each other, that count everything that they have as whoever needs it, it's theirs. What a blessing that is when you look at the world that's fighting and suing and hating. And then you just have brethren that are patient and merciful and kind. The bright new trash can that God has given us, the kingdom of God. And how many young men, young women, old people have just turned their backs on those things and gone right back into the trash can of the world. We go to the cities and we see the bondage, the hurt, the pain, the fighting, the arguing, the despicable way that people live, living out on the streets, living in some little apartment somewhere, and just, that's not living. Just choosing to live that way. And we have something that's so much better. An opportunity to work with your own hands, to be a blessing to someone. But people are so selfish that they'd rather just live in a dirty old trash can than just to give up their own will. And that's where it's at. People make choices to live that way rather than surrendering their will, surrendering their heart. How many people that are religious that see the blessings there, but then they let their strict religion try to tear all of that up. Falling off in that other ditch of the straight and narrow way. Instead of walking and yielding and being a blessing, try to tear all that up for everybody else. It's the same problem. Surrendering your will to the will of God and living out your life. Following, striving to follow what Jesus wants for you. That's what the difference between grace. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2. Verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Offering a brand new trash can to all men. That's what grace is. Grace is giving you a gift that you do not deserve. Giving you a gift that you cannot earn on yourself. Our wills have been separated from God. God don't owe us anything. Nothing. But in His mercy and in His grace, He extends an offer for us to return to His will. To return to His will. Remember, a sinner, it don't matter which camp he's in, whether the dirtiest sinner on the street or the cleanest appearing saint in the strictest religion, it's all sinners because they're not surrendered to God's will. Until we surrender to His will. Jesus told in Luke 13, He said, did you hear about those people that the Tower of Siloam, that fell on them? Or those people that the king mixed their blood with the idols they were worshiping? Oh, those were terrible sinners. He was talking to people who didn't sin. As we think. Did you hear about all those? Do you think they're worse than the rest of you? And He said, don't believe it. He said, because unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Sin, being a sinner, is you choosing your will above God's. The results of being a sinner oftentimes lead into following your lust, following your own way, just following your flesh. But they also lead in to trying to restrain that by all kinds of things, instead of just walking that straight and narrow road by yielding your will to God and following. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and ungodly in this present age. This is God's grace. This is God's gift that He is trying to get you to listen to Him. In John... John chapter 6. Verse 41, it says, "Wherefore the Jews were grumbling about Him, because He said, 'I am the bread that came down out of heaven.'" Remember, this is where the disciples that were following Him, all of them left except for the 12. And Jesus said, "Will you leave also?" This is what the straight and narrow road is all about. This is what the straight and narrow is about. Here, the Jews were grumbling about Him because I said the bread came down from heaven. What they thought was this man had came right down from heaven. They were thinking about bread. They missed it. They fell right into a ditch on one side. They were saying, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does He now say, 'I have come down out of heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Do not grumble among yourselves." They missed it. He was talking to them plainly. "No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him." The Father who sent Jesus is speaking to every one of us. That's the grace of God. He's speaking to every one of us, telling us, "Surrender your will to Me." He puts His finger on your will in a still, small voice. A quiet little voice that just says, "This is what I want from you. This is what I want from you." Most people miss it. They say, "Oh, that's what He wants from me? I'm going to go be real religious. Or I'm going to run away from it and just try to bury it to get what I want." That call from God is the most precious thing in the world. And no one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. Right there's your grace. He is giving you this gift. You know, the evangelicals say, "Oh, you can't do anything to earn a gift. You just take eternal life and you just take this gift and you just, boom, stamp it. A stamp on your forehead and you're going to heaven." That's not the gift. The gift is the opportunity for you to return to God. To be what He wants you to be. To yield your will to Him. All the power's there. All the water's there. The kink in the hose is your will isn't God's will. Jesus wrestled with that in the garden. I believe Jesus was tempted just like every one of us, not more, He could have made a choice. He wrestled in the garden till the drops of blood, the vessels broke, because he was fighting. And he won the battle of the cross by saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." He knew what God wanted. He saw this dirty cup, this black cup. What was that cup? Who knows? But it was, that cup was the hardest thing for him to do in his life. The hardest thing that he had to give up. "I don't want that cup. I don't want it." We try to cover it up with religion. We try to drown it in the world. But that one thing that God wants from you, that little cup, "That which I dreaded most has come upon me." That's what Job said, I think. Or was it Job? I think that which I dreaded most has come upon me. What do you dread the most? "Anything but that, Lord. Anything but selling everything I have and following you. Anything." I can cover it up. I can cover it up. Anything except that. Abraham had a son that he loved, that a promise from the Father that he loved. What did God want? "Give me your son, Abraham. I want your son." You know what Abraham did? By faith. He said, "Here he is." By faith, here he is. "Not my will, but thine be done." That unkinks the garden hose. That hooks us up to the power. That lets it flow so that we can live and carry out the will of God in our lives and be a part of His kingdom. Verse 45, "And as it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." Whenever we hear that voice, we hear God. You know what? It draws us to live like Jesus. Not try to put a bunch of rules on us to force ourselves into it. It lets us live the life that He wants us to live. It lets us be what He wants us to be. And as long as we keep our will surrendered to God's will and walk in that light, we're on the straight and narrow way. Whenever we try to create something to punish ourselves, we try to create a cross that we can carry, what we're doing is avoiding the Lord's will. We're trying to make something difficult for us. We're trying to make our life difficult to avoid doing the Lord's will. The way's hard enough. And whenever we try to create or put something upon ourselves to avoid the will, we've missed it. We've fallen right in the ditch. Walk in the light as He is in the light. "Well, I don't have a cross. Oh, the Lord must not love me." Just walk in the light. There's opportunities all around you. God has given you a responsibility. One of the boys said, "You know, we look in history and we see all the kings and the mighty warriors. You know, there was a bunch of people in Israel that we don't know nothing about that were just doing what they were supposed to be doing, just being a part of the kingdom of God, bearing the reproach, maybe of just being a part." You know, there's a lot of people that really appreciate the kingdom of God, but they don't want to be a part of it because there's a reproach that goes along with it. Just bearing that reproach, walking, doing what God has set in front of you to do every day, loving, being patient, being faithful, being merciful, and looking for opportunities to help. What could heaven be different than that? The kingdom of God. You know, the whole world of dreams of people living in peace and harmony. It starts with you. It starts with us just giving up and surrendering, living for someone else instead of yourself. I look at the world. Been all over it. I've seen a lot of things in the world. And there's just nothing that compares with a group of people that just love each other. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven was now. Was now. That's what it's all about. And it can be right here. It's not how strict we can make our religion and how holy we can think we are above everyone else. You know, we don't even think about works and grace. It's just what we want to do. We're not scared to death that we're not measuring up. It's just what we want to do. We're just doing what's right in front of us. And it's God's grace that has brought that path to us that we can choose if we choose it. The straight and narrow way is finding God's will. And most of us know what we don't want to give up. Most of us know what that little place we don't want to just trust Jesus with our life. We just don't want to trust Him. We'll handle this part. Some people it may cost everything. Some people it may just be forgiving someone. Some people it may just be giving up to someone else. Just a simple little thing like that. We're looking for a big old cross for God to lay on us, and all He wants is that one little bitty point that you won't give up. That is a cross to you. That's the heaviest cross in the world to you. Just to have to do what God wants you to do. You're looking for some cross that everybody can see and, oh, maybe feel sorry for you for carrying that big old cross. And the cross that God wants you to do, the only one you don't want to do, no one may ever see it. But you fight it. You resist it. You don't want it. And you're rejecting grace. You're rejecting mercy. Just let go. And follow. That's how you're on the straight and narrow way. The whole world misses it. Because it's so simple and easy. It's just your will or God's will. Jesus went on to say there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it's not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Who is in heaven will enter. We want to make some big religious show out of it. Or we want to count it as nothing. Two ditches. It's instead of just surrendering to the will of the Father, doing His will. Being a part of the kingdom of God. Just our little insignificant part. I'm going to be a father. I'm going to be a wife. I'm going to be a child. I'm going to be a servant. I'm just going to be a man. I'm going to be a helper. I'm going to be a brother. I'm going to look for somebody who has a need and fill it. I'm going to be. I'm going to keep myself from the world because I don't want what the world has. I found the kingdom. This straight, narrow way that people don't understand. They fight and argue about it on both sides. They don't understand it. They can't see it. But I'm going to stay on it because this is better. It's glorious. It's glad tidings. And that's what we want to offer to people. Just being what God wants us to be. Doing His will. The straight and narrow way. It's not strict religion. It's yielding your will to God's will. Doing His will. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Loving those who don't love you. Loving those who disagree with you. Following Jesus on the straight and narrow road that He set for you. Whatever it is. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and mercy. We ask Your blessing upon this day. Lord, we pray for Brother Gustavo, Father. Lord, that You would be with him, Lord, as he decided to be baptized. And surrender his will to follow You, Lord. Bless him, Lord. We again just thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Help us love those who hate us, Lord, and despise us, Father. Just be a blessing. Again, we just thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anyone else have anything? All right, we'll meet back here at 6 this evening. Right now we'll go to McDowell. Let's just head right on out there and for the baptism. So, all right, God bless you.